It's time to talk about this historic signing class with a couple of special guests. Let's get it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We made it. We made it through signing day, running on fumes. But the barn team, the team at thebarnauburn.com, we got through it. We had some fun, and Auburn landed this historic signing class. And I'll talk about how historic here in just a moment. Obviously, welcome in Zach Blackerby, Taylor Korn, members of the barnauburn.com team. And guys, thanks for being here. I'm ready to dive in. I'm ready to talk about it. We got some awards we're going to give out, and we're just going to go over our overall thoughts. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND to get a 300% deposit bonus in the casino. That's three times your money given back to you in free play to go play in the casino. Take your winnings there, hit the sports book. Bet all the lines you can imagine, every single way you can imagine. Easy deposits, easy withdrawals. mybookie.ag. Guys, we finished. We got through it. It was a long. It was emotional. Some highs, some lows. But hey, Zach, we made it. How you feeling about it?
Feel good. Kind of a little bit of a mixed bag here, because I think we all wanted more wins today. I think we wanted a few more flips than we got, because Auburn was in it till the end with a lot of these big time recruits, and it didn't happen. But then when you step away and you look at it, all things considered, this is still one of the best classes that Auburn's ever had. You can make the argument in some metrics that it is the best class that Auburn's ever had. And so all in all, like, it's fantastic, but I don't know. It's a weird feeling, because it's like, what if you would have gotten one of the big ones today? Right. It would be even better, obviously.
Taylor, you kind of feeling the same way? How are you feeling about it?
I feel good. And I kind of mentioned this earlier on the barn, and it's something that you brought up earlier this, I think it was this week, on one of your podcast episodes, saying, were we spoiled earlier this season? You know, we got so much good news so early that it might take away from some of the joy of today. And I think it was a double-edged sword, double-bladed knife, whatever the saying is, and the fact that we were so excited. Big Cat weekend was so fun. The day that Deuce flipped, everyone was, you know, ecstatic through the roof. And I'm thinking about, think about if Deuce would have flipped today, you know, that would have even changed it, even though it's the same guy, but just it being today, and the fact that a lot of the big names that everyone was so hyper fixated on coming in today didn't pan out. I feel like that has kind of killed the vibe a little bit, which I don't think it should have, but I understand it's natural that the excitement dies down, you know, as time passes.
Sure. Sure. I said, and that
was, I mean, that was kind of it, like Auburn holding on to Jared Smith, Auburn holding on to, I mean, there were several guys. There were several guys kind of throughout the day that were on this kind of watch. Deuce Knight, I think, depending on who you ask, was one of those. I never really was worried about that one, but some Auburn folks were. But it's like winning those, like, it was quiet, but those were still like big moments. It's just not exciting because they already committed, like you said, Taylor.
Yeah, it's not breaking news.
Yeah.
Exactly. Timing matters. Timing matters for perception wise. I guess. If, like you said, Taylor, if you would have had five guys flip today instead of essentially none, and you just get, I guess you had one flip today. You had Darian Smith flip today. And then you, I guess Donovan Starr almost felt like a flip because it felt like he was on the way out.
I thought we lost him. Yeah.
It felt like he was on the way out, and then you kept him. But yeah. I kind of compared it to this. It felt like, unlike we could do in the season several times, it felt like we had the lead in the fourth quarter, but we held them off. We held them off, and we closed out, and we still had ended up with what is. I'm going to give you guys three things about this class that I think will blow you away. Number one, it's the highest rated class. I've been talking about this since summer. It's the highest rated class that Auburn's ever had. When you look at the 247 Sports composite ratings, they score your class. They give you a number-based score. It's the highest score Auburn's ever had in a class.
Wow.
Even if Auburn wouldn't have landed Donovan Starr, it still would have been the highest class ever. And maybe there's even still some out there with Justice Terry that you could add, hopefully maybe on Friday, and then there could be some stuff maybe in February too. We'll have to see how that plays out. So, number one, highest rated class of all time. No matter what you look at in the modern era of rankings, highest rated class of all time. Another superlative of class, the most top 100 rated kids that have ever happened in one class at Auburn. You had seven top 100 kids. That's the most Auburn's ever had. I think that's pretty awesome. And then this, I found this out later, and this is kind of blows my mind. If you look at the top 20, Auburn's the only one with a losing record, which is kind of crazy. It just goes to show you how improbable, honestly, that this is based off of the product on the field. When you take all that into account, it kind of makes hopefully it makes you feel even a little bit better about everybody that you brought in.
Let me ask y'all this. Do you guys think missing out on all of the flips today, and I probably didn't word that as carefully as I should have, but do you guys think it impacts Terry at all later this week?
Monetarily, I think we probably got a little more to offer now, if I had to guess.
Yeah, that package, that NIL package might have a little bit more meat on it now, considering that you have a little bit, with Usman Chroma going to FSU, and like you said, Naeem Alford, which I'm sure was going to end up being a top dollar guy, being able to move. Hey, you got those funds dedicated there. I mean, you should be able to direct some of that to Justice Terry. And I know they're going to fight all the way to the end on that one. It's going to be a tough hill to climb, but I think that could definitely help in Auburn's favor there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, from the NIL perspective, then also, like, I mean, Kenyatta has been pretty loud about this on Twitter, and we all kind of assume that's who he's talking about. It's really the only one where it makes sense. So I kind of wonder if there's also just this added pressure, like from a staff, like we need to get this guy, like we need one big flip, you know, during this window where folks can sign early. So that'd be huge. And I think that totally changes the mood, even though I think most Auburn fans are excited with this class back to back, you know, top eight classes. We were eight last year. Isn't that right? And so back to back top eight classes, you know, compared to what we had years prior. I mean, that's a big deal. That's a big deal and a big step in the right direction.
Yeah. Hugh said, whenever he came in, he said, we got to have 3 years of top 10 classes. And that'll get us back competitive. You have two down. And I think hopefully you'll be able to make some noise in the portal and be able to, you know, turn things around in 2025 and then stack one more class on it. And then it's kind of off to the races from there. So yeah, a lot of good stuff. I got some fun stuff. I want to do, in high school or in middle school, you had your class superlatives, you know, who had the best smile, who had the best personality, who's the biggest flirt, all that kind of stuff. Or I got some class superlatives. I sent you guys the list and I want to get your thoughts on these. And see what your idea. Hey, in the chat, when you hear the question, let us know who yours is. So let's start it off. Just overall easy one. Who's your favorite player in the class? Who's your favorite? It could be personality. It could be talent. It could be anything. Who's your favorite player in the class? Taylor, I'll let you start.
Alvin Henderson, easy.
I knew that was going to be.
I'm a huge Alvin Henderson fan. I great personality, active on social media. So I feel like that makes you get the feeling that you know them a little more. You know, some guys are quiet, very quiet, which there's nothing wrong with, but I think he likes to play the game a little bit. And there's a lot of tweeting of random emojis, or I guess was. Now that facade is probably over, but stuff like that. I think that he's very, he never bit his tongue. He said what he thought. If he was asked a question, he was a straight shooter. And I think he's entertaining. So personality wise, Alvin.
For sure, for sure. Hey, we got some special guests really quick that just jumped in. So we'll get back to this list in just a second. But let me make sure that I can make this camera work with all these folks in it. Let's go here.
I got it.
And then we're going to go a little bit. We're going to go. Hold on. Let me get it. You got it set, Zach?
How all right.
We got, yes, we got two of the signees of this 2025 class, Ryan G and Kale Ellis. What's up, guys? The brand new Auburn Tigers, signed, sealed, delivered. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm excited to get to work.
I'm feeling yes, good sir. Yes, sir. How was the – so was it – what's it like on signing day as far as the stress level? I mean, you guys have been committed for a while, so maybe it was smooth sailing. But as far as, like, your announcements getting lined up, you know, you got to have – I'm sure you probably did some kind of speech – all this kind of stuff, like, and then you're doing interviews everywhere. I've seen you all over War Eagle Plus and all that good stuff too. Walk us through what signing day's like.
Okay. Well, for me, signing day started early. I signed this at exactly 7 o'clock, and then my team's still in the playoffs, so we had workouts at 7:30. So I signed that, then went to class, got on the phone with coaches later in the day, and then we had our ceremony at 3:45, and then we did that. We had a little video we had over, like, our highlights over our high school career, and then, like, a voiceover of our speech, and then we went to practice after that, so I just got home.
What about you, Kale? How'd it go, man?
Man, it was really great. I set my alarm for about, like, 6:30, just waited up, and then just waited for everything to get announced and stuff. And then I had a workout at 10 this morning, so I went to that. And came. I went ate lunch. Enjoyed myself for lunch. So did that, and then went to our sign at the school and just enjoyed my teammates and coaches and all that. Because you know, it's good to give them the time, because you know they just helped me work so hard. So did that, and then came home and just been chilling out. Just been Twitter's been blowing up. So
for sure.
That too. So you know.
Yeah. Do y'all feel different? Do you feel different now that it's official?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm excited to. It's all set in stone now, so it's just gotta keep on moving on with it. So,
can y'all talk a little bit about the close knitness of this class? I feel like that's played a big role in a lot of the recruitments that we've seen over the past couple months, and especially Alvin was one that talked about it early on. He said, you know, when I was committed to Penn State, I was still recruiting guys to go to Auburn. And then it seems like before Deuce flipped, he had a really good relationship with a lot of guys in the class. So just as a whole, how close is this class and how much of a impact do y'all think that played on, you know, how this class ended up?
Definitely. Our class is very close knit. I know we had a few guys leave, and those were our brothers, obviously, and we wished them the best. But when I was committed November 12th last year, and Alvin was the first person. Like, he liked my thing first. He DM'd me first, and he was like, let's go make history at Auburn. Let's flip the script. So that kind of when I knew it was going to be different. I knew I was going to be a part of a class that we were all going to be close. We're all going to make a difference. We were all going to get there, play early, and just get Auburn back to where it needs to be.
Yeah, I would say like every position group is close too. Like, I mean, the O-linemen that we're close with the DBs, and I mean, it's just vice versa. So. I would say that's huge to have, because, I mean, when you have that bond, you click on the field. So I would say that's very huge. I mean, with me committing last year in at the end of November, and I was still 2026, so I was the first 26 commit. And obviously with me reclassing, I would just say, like 26 and 25, but we both have a great relationship. So I say, again, that's huge, and it's going to translate for years to come. So.
How aware are you guys of everything that's going around you within the class? Like, who's signing when? Like, y'all's communication. Who you're worried about? Stuff like that. Like, how aware or in the loop are you guys with that type of stuff going on? Any kind of stories that you have about things that went down this day today? I'd be curious to know how all that communication works.
This morning, I was in contact with Jeffrey Lee this morning. Just, he was giving me updates on everything while I was going through the school day. He actually sent me like a list of what time everybody was signing at. like when and what to expect. So that kind of, that's how I was checking up on that. And then I hopped on Naeem's live. I was there for a good bit. There for like 30
minutes. The longest live in the history of the longest announcement in the history of ever.
Yeah, so that's kind of how I was caught up the whole day. But
they asked me to come speak. I thought I could have got there within 2 hours. And
you had enough time.
Yeah,
you had enough time to get there.
I could have got on there, but I was busy. I couldn't get away. No, that's, I've always been. I know you got, like Taylor said, you guys are tight knit. A lot of communication. I go back to, was there anybody that you were, I guess you were nervous until you saw it actually, pinned to paper? Were you anybody you were really nervous about?
I wouldn't say nervous about, but obviously Deuce with the whole Ole Miss scenario with him going to Red Bull. So when finally seeing him hit the pen, hit the paper, that was a relief for me. And then obviously just getting everybody there that needed to be there, like our whole class, seeing them sign, get us to, or have most of us be there to work in January, is that's great.
I was worried about Elijah. I was worried about Elijah Melendez a lot because I thought he was gonna. I was hearing that he was gonna flip to Oregon, but I mean, him sticking was good because he's a ball player. So
that dude is a ball player.
He's very good. He's very good. What are you guys most excited about now that you guys are officially Auburn Tigers, Auburn football players? What are you most excited to do once you guys do get here in the next few weeks?
I would probably say just being able to get in that locker room and be with my brothers and my teammates. That's the biggest thing for me. Like, that's who I play for. Like, that's who gets me going. So I would just say continuing to build that connection. I mean, obviously me and Ryan are close. Just being able to play with him here in the future is just going to be very awesome, very surreal.
I agree with that. Obviously, I'm excited to get there, get in the locker room, get in the playbook. Obviously, I'm going to have a mentor there in the room, in our tight end room, obviously, and we're going to continue to build with me and Hollis, and I'm excited to get in the room and start playing. Obviously, I'm excited to start room with Kale, get together like that, and then I'm just excited to start playing first Iron Bowl, first season as a college player.
Yeah, I think the news came back. Brandon Frazier, did I see that over the – Brandon Frazier's going to be able to come back. Is that right? Is that who you're talking about as far as mentor goes? Like, you got somebody?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he's 100% staying yet, but I know I'm going to be in there with it. I think we might aim for like getting maybe like a transfer portal guy that played a little bit. So obviously with him, just soaking up as much knowledge as I can. So, because obviously they've all played, they know how it is on the field. I don't. So soaking up any knowledge I can get.
For sure. I got a last question. So back in the day, and this wasn't very long ago, they send the fax. They send it by fax. So what are you actually signing, and how does it get to Auburn? I'm so curious. I'm curious to know now. What's that whole process like?
For me, I mean, I think it was the same for him, but for me, it was pretty simple. We just I signed it ahead last night, so I just didn't have to really go through that in the morning. So I just signed it last night, and then just made sure I took a good picture of it and just sent it off front and back. So
we're just scanning and going now. I like no e-sign. We're not e-signature. We're just scanning and going.
I feel like DocuSign should be acceptable at this point.
Yeah. My brother, he signed to App State this morning, and he had to do DocuSign.
Okay.
It was pretty simple, too, because you just do it.
He's doing it from his phone?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
So what we need to do now, we need to start forging.
Nope.
I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. I swear I didn't send my letter in. Yes, you did. It's right here. It's a scan. It's an email.
Yeah, we got the email. Yeah.
I love it. Guys, we're fired up for you. We're happy that you're Auburn Tigers, and you guys are going to be great. Both of you report in – when do you report again?
I report in January, so January 8th is my report date.
I report sometime into May, early June. So
yeah, you with awesome. The reclass, you got. I'm sure that's that'd be a little bit tough to go reclass and be a mid-year enrollee. So Ryan, we'll see you here in a couple of months in Auburn. Not even a couple of months. I guess that's a month away. So good luck on your state champ. You said, is it the state championship or a playoff game?
We have our semifinals on Friday, and then our state championship will be on December 17th.
Awesome.
Well, I love how much of a flex that was. It was so subtle. Like, well, we're still playing. My team's in the playoffs, so
yeah, I had to go
practice this morning. It's like, okay, we got the flex. We got it. Congratulations.
I love it. Thanks, guys. Y'all have a great rest of the evening, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, thank y'all.
All right, Zach, get us back loaded up.
I got y'all. I got us.
That dude can whip through these screen changes like nobody's business. All right, that was awesome. So,
two solid guys. Super pumped for them.
Pump for them. It's awesome to have get to hear it from their point of view and going through the whole process. So back to the list. Taylor's favorite person ever, Alvin Henderson. Zach, who is yours? I know you got to go, so let's hustle through these so you can we can hear.
I got 10 minutes. We're good. Blake Woodby. You know I'm going to go with the corner. I love his tape. You know he's doing a lot of shows and podcasts as well. Including this one. And it's just, I think he's going to be one of the more vocal guys in this class. I think he's going to have a path to playing time early. Blake Woodby is probably my favorite guy in this class.
Mine is Elijah Melendez. And he scares me. Number one, even in person, he's an intimidating teenager. Number one, and the way he plays football, he plays physical, he plays fast. He is what you want in a middle linebacker. And I can't wait for that kid to get here. I think he's going to be really, really special. Really, really special. So Elijah Melendez, Alvin Henderson for Taylor, Blake Woodby for Zach. Let's go to number two. Number two is who's the most underrated player? Who's the guy flying under the radar that's going to pop? Who's your most underrated player, Taylor?
I don't really know if this would be considered underrated or flying under the radar, but I say Darion Smith. Whenever Blake Woodby was on with you, he said, I can't remember his exact words, but I think that he said he's one of the best that he's seen on the field or played with. And I think that people get caught up in stars a lot. He's a 3-star, but Jarquez Hunter was a 3-star coming out of high school. So I think that we put a lot of stock in that, and that doesn't always mean, you know, that's how successful of a college career that you're going to have. So I don't like to pay attention a lot to that. Obviously you have to pay attention a little bit to it. And then also I think that I heard someone talking about this earlier. I cannot remember who, but the fact that he flipped from Tennessee, who's a team that is in contention to I feel like that's not being talked about enough either.
He has an impressive offer list. He really does. I mean, Ohio State, he's got several playoff team offers. So it's not like you're just flipping a lowly 3-star. You're flipping a guy. A lot of big-time schools coming. So I like that pick. Zach, who you got?
I almost said Sam Turner. So Sam Turner gets an honorable mention for this one. You know, you talk about stars, Taylor. I think Sam Turner is better than his ranking for sure. But I'm going to go with Broderick Scholl, the offensive tackle. And I mean, he's rated, I think, fairly. But I think this is a multi-year starter on the offensive line for Auburn. I think this is a guy who has the potential to be an early draft pick in the future, and as well as play in the league. And we haven't been able to say that about incoming offensive linemen a ton. So I'll go with Broderick.
Especially from the tackle position. That's an offensive tackle.
Right.
That's a position that has seemed to elude Auburn quite often. Mine's Bryce Diaz. And this guy came to camp unrated and left, I think, at least by rivals, a 4-star. But I don't think he got a lot of love elsewhere. From St. Francis Academy, plays both ways for a powerhouse. Plays running back and linebacker. And he is he's very well put together. And I think he's going to be a kid that's going to be – he can play multiple positions. So that's
always – Where does he play first?
I think he plays linebacker first. I think he'll be sort of like that outside – I don't know, there'll be a middle linebacker, outside linebacker.
Yeah.
Guy that you could come maybe even – rush the passer with. He has a really good film of him and Darion. He had a strip sack. Darion took it to the house. So I like Bryce Diaz. I think he'll be a really good one. Number three, who do you think is the first player to get playing? Who's the first player on the field that maybe like works his way into a starting position? Who's the guy you can't keep off the field? He's going to be on the field the fastest. Taylor, go ahead.
I went back and forth between two. Blake Woodby, he was talked about by Tom Luganville on the Next Round today. He mentioned he and Jared Smith were two that stood out to him that Auburn picked up. But my other is Anquan Fagans. I didn't realize this, which y'all might know this, but he has played a little bit of special teams as well. He's punt returner, kick returner. So I'm like, could we see him on special teams? But I also think he's one of those guys that's just a freak athlete. He's talented.
Yeah, lurker. That's what I want, that lurker safety that just plays back there. And every time the ball goes deep, it's it could be an interception. Zach, who's your most who's your first player on the field?
Yeah, I think positionally, the best bet would be somebody on the defensive line. There's an argument for a lot of different guys to do that. I mean, I think you could talk about it with Malik Autry or Antonio Coleman or Jordan Crawford. I'll go with Jordan Crawford just because I think he's going to be more of your nose, and we don't know how Auburn's going to do in the portal that position. They're going to have to go get a guy like that, and so I think it's going to be a true battle at that spot between Jordan Crawford and however many guys Auburn brings in via the portal to play that spot. So I'm not saying this because I think Jordan Crawford is talented, but I think there's fewer guys in between him and seeing the field than almost any other position.
Hey, any high school child that comes in squatting 700 pounds,
you got to give them a shot, right?
Put them right there in the middle and just tell them to start squatting. Let's go. You can't move him. I love it. I kind of took the same route you did, Zach. I was looking at positionally who could possibly get on the field first. And I got Eric Winters to me is a guy. And I think it's that flexibility. People are not going to appreciate this kid because of what Taylor talked about earlier of how early he committed. He is probably the best athlete in this class as far as overall athletic ability. You're talking about played quarterback, played wide receiver, played safety. He's a freak. He's a freak, and I think he's going to get a shot at maybe even some linebacker, some safety. He can do a little bit of everything. Eric Winters, he's the guy, I think, that is you're going to have to tase him to keep him off the field. So going over who's going to be the voice, who's going to be the leader, the class president, Taylor.
I thought of four, which two of them – I'm assuming someone else is gonna say. So I made my list a little bit longer. I read something, I cannot remember where, and I searched for it for probably 20 minutes before we started. Something about Deuce Knight being, he's not the most vocal guy, but he just, his presence, he's a guy that people will listen to, they'll follow his lead. He's more of a leader by example, not necessarily the most outspoken in the locker room. And I think that Malik Autry, he needs an honorable mention here because he's been committed for 7 years, it seems like. And there was a little bit of wavering, but he was, you know, kind of in it with the fan base, with the bat signals and stuff like that. So I'm like, I always like a little social media interaction. So yeah. I think those two, but I think Deuce is kind of a, you might not hear the most from him, but from what I've heard other people say about him, it sounds like he's a guy that people look up to in a locker room.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Zach, what you got?
I'm not going to overthink this one. I'm going Alvin Henderson.
Okay.
And I don't think I need to explain it.
Why is that?
Because he's like he's the most vocal guy.
Yeah,
I don't see that stopping just because he's enrolled. So yeah, I'll go with Alvin.
I got Blake Woodby. I like Blake Woodby. He seems mature beyond his years. And obviously, I think he's going to be a good player. He hung in there. I don't think he even really visited other schools. He was kind of locked into Auburn. I just think he's going to get here, and I think he can be a vocal leader and just be a really good player as well. And I just like the maturity from him. So last one, Zach, I know you're in a hurry, so you can go first.
Okay.
Which player has the most NFL potential or slash best career at Auburn
out of this class? Oh, my goodness. That's so tough. I think Eric Winters is a possibility here. I'm leaning more into the NFL because – so I'm looking at frame and size as well. So, you know, I think Eric Winters has a potential NFL frame. I kind of want to say Broderick Scholl again, but just to be different, I'll say Ty Buster, the guard. I think that's a guy who is built exactly how you want an interior guard to be built at his age. I also think his path to playing time and the timing of the roster of the guys ahead of him, it makes sense. I think he'll be a starter at some point if he stays here. And I think if you're a successful multi-year starter in the interior offensive line, the NFL is going to give you a shot. So I'll go with Ty Buster just to be a little different.
It's the best name in the class. That should have been one of the questions we asked. Who had the best name?
We all would have said Ty Buster, though.
Ty Buster for sure. Taylor, who you got?
I kind of have one for both halves of the questions, but NFL wise, I mean, I'm no NFL scout, but Elijah Melendez looks like he could snap me in half with his bare hands. So I think that could be a safe, easy combine.
That's actually one of the things they test in the combine. How can you snap small framed women with your bare hands?
I feel like he would be good at it. Yeah. And then best career at Auburn. This is going to seem like a cop-out answer, but Deuce Knight, because one, I saw a stat earlier that he's the highest ranked quarterback, I believe, that Auburn has ever landed, which is a feat in itself. And second, we've been deprived of elite quarterback play for a hot second.
Sure.
And I think, you know, when you look at Keandre Lambert Smith, gave us a little hope at the wide receiver position this year. Obviously, we only had 1 year with him, but we had a taste of a good receiver. Along with some of the younger guys, especially Cam towards the end of the year. Jarquez, everyone knows that Jarquez is incredibly talented. But I think that the standards for Auburn fans to be pleased with quarterback play aren't that high.
Yeah.
So I feel like if he comes in and performs, and I think Hugh Freeze during his press conference this afternoon said something along the lines of he's the most talented player, like from when I'm inheriting him, he's the most talented that I've had. I can't remember the exact quote, but something along those lines. And I think if he plays up to what we think he can, then he will be, you know, the second coming of Christ, because we've been so deprived.
I love it. Hugh did say today in his press conference post signing day, he did say there's no doubt this guy has the highest ceiling of anybody I've ever had. So he's got all the tools, he's got the length, he's got the speed, he's got the arm strength. And going back to what you talked about earlier, he's got that it factor about him that makes people want to rally around him. You could even see when he wasn't committed, when he showed up, it was like everybody huddled around, like everybody kind of attracted to him, like kind of moth to a flame. You can feel that. I think in NCAA it's called aura. You can feel the aura around him. So I agree. I think that could be a really good one. I'm thinking NFL, and I'm thinking positions that translate. And I gotta go with my man Jordan Crawford. I've said it from the time he committed. I said, I don't care who you get on the defensive line. Now, Justice Terry may change this if you were to land him. But I said, that kid's going to have the best career out of all the defensive linemen. Like I said, I think he squats either close to or over 700 pounds in high school. He's got a really wide, low center of gravity, just a really big, stocky kid, like prototype nose tackle that can just eat up space. And I think those are very valuable in the NFL. So I think he has the chance to play early and play often and, you know, have the best career. So let's get in the chat a little bit and wrap things up a little bit and have some fun. I want to go. Here's a good one. We're already shifting over to the portal. CWTAU need to get that ULM Louisiana Monroe portal running back. Talking about Ahmad Hardy. He played against Auburn actually, and I think he had a fairly decent game. With the fact that Usman Chroma went to Florida State, you missed on him. You only bring in one running back this year. You didn't bring in a running back at all last year. Could you lose one of the two older guys? Portal running back is going to be a priority. Taylor, I think he followed both of us on Twitter.
He's been following a lot of Auburn people on Twitter. But so
go ahead.
My cousin's uncle, which it's my cousin's wife, so whatever that is to me, my second cousin, I guess.
Yeah.
Her uncle is Brian Vincent, the head coach at ULM. So I hate that if this is, you know, one of their star offensive players, that he's leaving them. But at the same time, you know, priorities. My priorities are Auburn starting to win some football games. But I think I'm interested to see how quickly Alvin's game translates and how much playing time he gets early, what that looks like.
I know. I'm with you. That is going to be a big the numbers he put up are outstanding. But it is going to be a transition. There is going to be a learning curve. Now, him, I think he's an early enrollee. That's going to be big for him because he'll get to go – I think he's an early enrollee. He'll get to go through a spring practice, which will be huge because he'll kind of have a little jump start on that transition from small school ball to, obviously, the SEC. He's got the skill set. How can he adjust to the speed? You know, because he's way faster than everybody that he plays. He's probably stronger than a lot of the people he plays. I'm with you. I'm with you there. This is a good one, and we can kind of talk about this. While Durkin was the head coach for Maryland, he opened up that pipeline. That St. Francis pipeline seems to be open. The most random school, the most random powerhouse school ever that Auburn could create a pipeline with. I'm loving it. And that pipeline is not drying up anytime soon. You got a 2026 commit. You got other targets. You may have a portal guy you're looking at. So talk about that and the impact DJ Durkin's made.
The defense has been so much better than I thought it would be this year to begin with. And I think having something that's not local, you know, it's not the Phoenix City, the Thompson, which not complaining about any of that, but you need to expand your horizons.
Sure.
And Auburn's doing very well recruiting in state right now in the state of Alabama, but having, like you talked about earlier, Blake Woodby has kind of become a leader of this team. So having that, you know, having him as one of the older guys that'll be here, and
Mama G is going to start after selling crab cakes. That's great. That's classic.
So he can be the contact a little bit. He will be a very good resource to have as this thing continues to grow, but it's obviously paying off in good dividends early right now.
For sure. For sure. So you got three commits this year. And St. Francis is really it's basically like an IMG Academy. I mean, you're talking about where kids come from kind of all over to play, and you're getting the elite of the elite every single year. So if you got it in there, I'll take it. And Durkin, obviously his coaching abilities have paid off. And now hopefully his recruiting abilities and the relationships that he made while he was at Maryland are going to pay off as well. So recruiting is not done yet. This class is not completely done yet. We talked about Justice Terry this weekend, not this weekend, Friday. Auburn's really going to push for him. And I think there could be some stuff that we could look at happening in February as well. One of them, I think it's okay to talk about now. Auburn High School running back. I think they're really his name's Omar Mabson. He was a 2026 kid. I think they're really looking at him possibly being able to reclassify and then maybe sign in February. So that could be something to watch. I think you got to watch that. I think that announcement could be coming soon. He could be a factor because I think he ran for 1,700 yards this year in 7A football. He's 7A. A beast. 7A, so the highest classification you can, he pretty much dominated. So that could be definitely something to watch. Closing thoughts, Taylor, anything that you want to say, anything we missed so far, just overall closing thoughts on the 2025 recruiting class?
I saw someone asking earlier about how many guys are scheduled to enroll early, and I believe the number is 21 of the 25. So to clear that up, which is huge. That makes a huge difference. And I think we've seen that this season between Cam and Perry. Cam got there early, Perry didn't. And a lot of the, I think, lack of playing time that we're seeing with Perry is the coaching staff has said we've you know, he's had a little more trouble catching on to the playbook, learning the playbook. So that's kind of a side note. But I think we need to be excited. I think we need to be excited about the direction that this is headed, because this could have spiraled out of control so fast. And I think we're forgetting that. I think we're taking for granted what is happening, because, you know, everyone always wants better. Everyone always wants, you know, the next guy, the Naeem Offord, which would he have been a great addition? Yes, obviously anyone would have loved to have him. But at the same time, looking back on what happened this season, we need to be grateful that this is where we're sitting right now, because it could have spiraled out of control and the staff held it together. And I think we just need to be excited for the guys that signed today, whoever is to come down the road, transfers and stuff like that, because we could have been in bad shape right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I said it earlier, out of the top 20 in the recruiting rankings, Auburn was the only one with a losing record. And it wasn't like, and here's another thing, is it wasn't like the class ended up as like a consolation prize. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like a, oh my, thank God we just salvaged, a number 12 class. Thank God we salvaged, a top 15 class. No, you had the season you had, and you ended with the highest rated class in the history of Auburn, like in the history of modern recruiting rankings. It's definitely perspective. Perspective there matters. And yeah, if you had a couple more wins, I call it the suck tax, that you have to pay the suck tax whenever I think it's real. I think that's going to be in economic books in college moving forward. But whenever you struggle, things cost more. And, you know, if you had a couple more wins, it may have made getting a couple more of these guys a little bit easier. But all in all, man, the staff isn't, the recruiting part's never going to be an issue, it seems like. It's always going to be fun. They're always going to be competitive there. Now they just got to marry that. You marry that with results on the field. And, hey, this is definitely going to help. Nike's coming in. Let's go.
I am so excited.
Do you have your savings account ready? Do you have your checkbook ready, wallet, all that good stuff? You got your account set up ready?
Yes. And also, if it's helping bring guys in, if they care about the Nike, Under Armour, whatever, I'm just glad that it's done. The next time we play a football game, we'll be wearing Nike, and I'm excited about that.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I think I'm curious. I'm ready. I want to find out when that merch starts dropping. I think it'd be sometime next summer, I would imagine, is when that contract's up and merch starts dropping. It'd be a lot of fun. But guys, thanks for joining us. Thanks for recapping today. Taylor, thanks for jumping on with us. Tell them where they can find you, support you, love on you, everything.
You can find me on Twitter at TaylorCornTNR, and then follow the Next Round everywhere. And that's where I do the majority of my posting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Hit that notification bell, because you never know when we're going to pop in and go live again. And catch us next time. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.